Welcome to the SearchNetworkingChannel.com podcast. I'm Matt Donnelly, Associate Editor with TechTarget's Channel Media Group. My guest today is Tom Limoncelli. Tom is an internationally recognized author and speaker on many topics, including system administration and time management. A system administrator since 1988, he has worked for companies including Google and AT&T. He's best known for his books, The Practice of System and Network Administration and Time Management for System Administration. Today, Tom and I will be discussing how to design networks for speed and reliability. This podcast will be broken up into two parts. The first set of questions are those that a service provider should ask a potential customer when planning a network design project. These questions are designed to get a clear idea of the client's goals so the implementation goes smoothly. Those questions will be covered in this podcast. In a future podcast, we'll be discussing a second set of questions that Tom's prepared, and those are questions that address the key points that you as a service provider need to understand about network design. Together, these two sets of questions are used to build the framework for a customer's network design project. Tom, welcome to the SearchNetworkingChannel.com podcast.
Sure.
Okay, let's start with the first set of questions. These are the questions that you should ask clients thinking about designing networks for speed and reliability. And the first question really is the most obvious one, and it's a good thing that we're starting with that first. And the question is, what is the network for?
This is the question that you should use to probe what kind of applications the client is going to be using on the network. By knowing the applications, you determine what speeds and other qualities you need in the network. Customers often don't know the exact amount of bandwidth that they need or other features, but bandwidth is usually the overriding one. One should measure application requirements from real-world examples. So if you can actually spend time monitoring their network to determine average bandwidth used by certain applications, you're going to be able to do a much better job. Latency is also another quality that you should investigate. Some applications require low-latency networks, like an NFS, the file protocol NFS, really needs less than 2 milliseconds of latency, while other things like FTP can work on very high latency networks.
And now really that we've established what the network is for, we need to now sort of shift to the question of, is this a new network? Are we setting something up from scratch? Or are we trying to upgrade an existing network? So I guess the question would be there, what setup does the customer have already? And then what problems are they trying to solve with this new configuration?
Right. Get the client to talk about their current network. Usually we're not so lucky that it's a greenfield deployment and we can build something from scratch. There's usually some kind of pre-existing network, and you want to identify what problems the person has because a new network should alleviate some kind of pain. So sometimes customers have an ad hoc network. Maybe a couple smaller companies have merged and things haven't been cleaned up. Or maybe you were just a really small company that initially the network was ad hoc and the request is to build a supported and consistent network. Sometimes it's a growth issue. You have a company that had a great design, but they've now grown such that the old design isn't working anymore and they need to upgrade. Sometimes it's speed or lack of reliability. In these cases, it's important to determine what are the bottlenecks. Are there certain applications that are bandwidth hogs that need to be adjusted for in part of the design?
Now, Tom, you just mentioned reliability, and one of the other questions that often comes up is what service level agreement does the customer need? How does the service level agreement come into this discussion too?
Right. So the service level agreement, or SLA, is really the next important factor. Everyone would like a network that is up 100% of the time, but no one can really afford that. Getting that last 1% is incredibly expensive. A network that's up 99% of the time is actually pretty to achieve. I mean, that's 15 minutes of downtime each day, if you think about it, or a small blip of an outage every hour and a half. So it's important to set expectations that no network is perfect, but there's certain things that we can do to improve uptime. I like to think of SLAs as a couple different categories. It's not worth it to say, well, you know, the difference between a something that can be up 99.995% of the time and 99.996% of the time is difficult to design around. We don't have that kind of granularity in network engineering. But let me break it down into a couple different buckets. The first bucket is one-day return to service. If there's a problem, it might take a day to fix. Network equipment vendors often offer a service contract that lets them replace a part within 4 hours. Now, that doesn't mean that the outage will last 4 hours, but it because it often takes a couple hours to diagnose a problem and 4 hours for the part to arrive and then a couple more hours to install it. But for some networks, that's sufficient for what they need. It's not the solution that most people want, especially if they have maybe more than 50 people or more than 3 or 4 locations. The improvement would be the next bucket, which is called N+1 redundancy. Any one component can fail, and the system keeps working. So to achieve that, you have to have redundancy in the network. For example, a router might require 2 fans to keep it cool, but you would buy a model that has 3 fans. Any one can fail, and the system can keep running. That's N+1 redundancy. The N is what's required to keep the system running, and the 1 is the redundancy. Most equipment nowadays, especially network equipment, is designed with all N+1 redundancy on the internal parts. And that can really improve the SLA, because now you're in a situation where a part that fails does not automatically equal an outage. What will result in an outage is if it's one of the few parts that isn't redundant. For example, if there's only one network connection between point A and point B, all the fans and CPUs and everything in the routers could be redundant, but if they're connecting a single point between 2 buildings and that link goes down, then you're going to have an outage. So the third bucket is system-wide N+1 redundancy. And that's where we have redundancy not just on the internal links in the equipment, but for all the network links also. So, for example, you would have dual network connections to a wiring closet or between offices. If you're going between offices, then it's also important that the 2 connections are diversely routed so that one backhoe doesn't ruin your whole day. Now, SLAs can be even more protective than that, but usually such requirements are from companies that engineer their own solutions. Lastly, there are hybrids. So, for example, a company with many sites might have a very high SLA for their medium and larger offices where everything is very redundant. But for the smallest of offices, maybe they have dozens and dozens of offices with just 1 or 2 people, maybe sales offices scattered all around the world, often you'll see a different SLA for those offices where, you know, if the router dies, those people are just going to work off the Wi-Fi from the local Starbucks until the office can be brought back online.
Well, now we've talked really about what the network's for, what problems the client is trying to solve with this network upgrade. We've also looked at service level agreements. And the next question really would come into the picture. It would be a question of what the client can do to sort of manage the network on their own, or whether they'll keep the service provider in the loop. So it really comes down to what skills does the client have in-house.
Right. Finding out what skills the client has in-house is important because it determines what technical level you'll be able to have your conversation, but also what technical involvement do they want after the installation is done. Are they highly technical and just want assistance designing and speccing out the details, and then they're going to run the network after that? You know, maybe they want project management help, the non-technical process of making sure, coordinating all the vendors, making sure everything gets done. Are they just somewhat technical? Maybe they can handle add, move, change requests, but not technical enough to configure new VLANs or add new connections to new buildings. Or maybe they're not technical at all and need a fully managed solution where you're monitoring remotely and you're contacting them about periodic maintenance and that kind of thing. often clients want some kind of hybrid. Their requirements or their skill level for the LAN is different from the WAN. Typically, users can support their own LAN ports, add moves, changes themselves, but want a more managed solution for the WAN, because that's often dealing with vendors and telecoms and a whole set of terminology.
And really, this sort of leads to the final question that a service provider should be asking a customer. Some service providers might think this is the most important question they can ask their customers, is really, what's your budget? Well, how much money do you have to spend on this network design or network redesign project?
Right, and it probably is the most important question, and not for reasons of greed or commission, but because it's about setting expectations. You don't want to be in an environment where someone wants a billion-dollar network for $50. But also, the budget, you want to make sure their budget is in sync with their expectations. There are just certain design patterns that fit different budgets. So for WANs, you can, if they want to go on the cheap, VPNs over the internet to connect buildings is very inexpensive, but it's not very reliable or very manageable. A little bit more expensive but more reliable is using an MPLS provider. These providers basically can run your WAN for you. They've run a global or a regional WAN, and you're sort of renting a chunk of it. Some MPLS providers are more high-end. They do less oversubscription, which means, if they have oversubscription, just means how they allocated how much bandwidth is going to be used on a certain link. So if you have a link that's a 10 gigabit link, have you sold that link? Have you sold 10 gig of that capacity, or have you sold 100 gig of that capacity and are hoping that not everyone is going to want to use their full capacity at any given moment? And then there's full custom solutions. Some customers just have the need for dedicated links, either for security reasons or they just need that much bandwidth. On the LAN side, there's different design patterns that also match different cost levels, like what we talked about before with a network where a single fault can take down the network or disrupt users versus N+1 designs.
Well, that just about wraps up our questions for this podcast. Tom, thank you for joining me.
Very much. I really enjoyed it and hope to see you again.
For more on network design, please visit searchnetworkingchannel.com. And for a text version of this interview, plus lots of related tips, guides, and expert answers, and as well as links to Tom's books, please visit searchnetworkingchannel.com/design. Thank you for downloading our podcast, and join us again next time for more frequently asked questions.